Good morning. Welcome to our Wednesday devotion and prayer time. My name is Tom Lemler. I'm a staff member of the Deer Run Church of Christ in South Bend, Indiana, as well as the director of Impact Prayer Ministry. I've been talking and praying this week about fasting made new. And each weekday morning, we're looking at a different aspect of how God's people use this spiritual discipline of fasting in the past to learn more about how we can use it today. And as we've talked about this, while the titles talk about new, this isn't new at all. In fact, it's really taking a new look at an old practice. And today we're going to focus in on a new morning. And not that it's new, but sometimes perhaps we haven't really considered what it looks like to really be sorrowful and to be involved in godly mourning regarding, well, things beyond our control. In reality, that's the goal of the spiritual discipline. It's the goal of any spiritual discipline. It's to draw near to God and be involved in life in a manner in which He's in control and with an awareness that He's in control. Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 4, says, "When I heard these things, I sat down and wept. For some days I mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven." These things, as the reports had come back about the terrible condition of Jerusalem. Nehemiah was, as the story unfolds in the book of Nehemiah, was a cupbearer to the king. He was in captivity, away from the land of his people, as many had been taken captive. And Nehemiah was about to be used as a leader in people, the Israelite people, returning to Israel, to Jerusalem. But the news that came back was not good. And it distressed Nehemiah greatly. And so Scripture says he sat down and he wept. And for several days, he wept. He mourned, he fasted, he prayed to God. In fact, it was the unusual appearance. It was a dissatisfaction of spirit that the king first noticed. Nehemiah hadn't apparently said anything to the king, but the king says, "What's up? Why is your countenance, why does your face look so sad when it's not looked that way in my presence before?" I suspect that the friends of Nehemiah had a different response than the king. If you've experienced news that was beyond your control but was very distressing, if you spent time mourning whatever that might have been, chances are pretty good that somebody in your life, whether close or casual acquaintance, response was more like, "Get a grip. There's nothing you can do. Just move on." And I think sometimes it's not just the people around us that convey that message. We tell ourselves that message. And in a sense, either don't even consider, or we talk ourselves out of the one thing we can do. And that's go to God. You'll find throughout Scripture that we've talked about a couple of those cases already this week where God's people deliberately go without food for a period of time for the purpose of seeking God and listening to Him. Now, there were times throughout the calendar year that God had instructed His people to fast as a part of their worship, as a part of their remembrance, as a part of their celebrations of who He is. And for many, like we would do, those became kind of routine. We do it because it's that time of year. We do it because we always have. But there were other times where individuals or would take this upon themselves or would even call others to join them, where leaders would call entire nations to a time of fasting in order to seek God, in order to listen to God, in order to prepare themselves to obey God. And as we consider the grief in our life, as we consider the loss that we experience, as we consider the turmoil that is beyond our control, how often do we do the one thing we can do? Our mourning ought to include deliberate seeking of God. And when we choose this deliberate seeking of God, He says that if we draw near to Him, He will draw near to us. And so we live life recognizing that there is plenty to mourn about in our world, in our nation, in our communities, in our families. And fasting, whether it's fasting from food, whether it's fasting from electronic devices, whether it's fasting from entertainment, whatever it might be that is most distracting to us, is designed by God to put us into a position of better listening. And when we choose to address our sorrow from whatever cause by seeking God, we discover, we talked about a couple weeks ago, from the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, what we call the Beatitudes, we discover this incredible promise where Jesus says, "Blessed," or "How very happy are those who mourn." Sounds like a strange statement until you get to the second part. "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." I believe the mourning that Jesus talks about includes an aspect of this mourning that Nehemiah found himself engaged in. for the living God, to satisfy the loss that nothing else could. As we continue, and if you were to continue reading through the book of Nehemiah, even just the first couple chapters, you'll discover that out of this fasting and mourning and praying, God raised up Nehemiah to go back and rebuild. And in a few pages' time of Scripture, Nehemiah goes from a captive servant, cupbearer to the king. Wasn't nearly as glamorous of a role as it may sound like. He was the guy to make sure the king wasn't going to be poisoned. He was expendable. He went from that to a leader, to a rebuilder, to the governor. And it began. Oh, it did not begin here with his days of fasting and mourning and weeping. No, it began when his life was committed to God as his servant. And when we mourn, I think sometimes God asks us. I know there's times he asks me, how serious are you about this? Do you really want me involved, or do you want to do it yourself? And when we experience loss, grief, sorrow, are we willing, for whatever time it takes, days, to mourn and fast and pray to our God? Would you spend some time today praying with me? Father, thank you that you are a God that loves us. Your love has given us what we need in order to draw near to you and to know your nearness to us. And Father, your love does not excuse us from the catastrophes of this world, from the grief and loss and disasters that of many kinds that afflict us, things which cause us great sorrow, great bewilderment, great uncertainty, things which become very apparent that are out of our control, things which we recognize we can't fix, that are too big for us, things that we recognize we don't even know how to fix if we wanted to. And God, today, as we consider those things in our life, and for each one of us, those things may look very different. They may look similar to others. But we've experienced that loss and that bewilderment and that sorrow, and we've wept. And Father, I pray that you would help us in the midst of that sorrow to do the one thing that helps the most, and that's turn to you. That we would understand the great value of this spiritual discipline of fasting. Of going without deliberately in order to spend more time listening to you. Hearing your word. Praying about the circumstances surrounding our bewilderment. Having that conversation with the living God. So God, help us to make this discipline of fasting, this discipline of coming to you first, this discipline of coming to you in all earnestness. Help us to make all of that a more natural part of our life. Not that it becomes routine, but that it becomes just what we do when we face circumstances that we don't know what to do in. We turn to you. And not just as a token, okay, God, it's yours, but as a genuine pursuit of wisdom and knowledge and patience and understanding. A desire to see our part in how you're going to resolve even those things that seem unresolvable. And so God, today, as we consider those things which lead us to mourn, those things which fill us with sorrow, may we take a new look at the discipline of fasting. A new look at a disciplined approach to seeking and listening to you. Father, in all of it, may we find a nearness to you that only comes through our relationship with Jesus. And as we mourn and as we fast and as we pray, may we lift up Jesus as the one who saves, as the one who has brought the answer we need, as the one who is. So that as we lift him up, that many would be drawn to him. It's in his name that I pray. Amen. This has been our Wednesday devotion and prayer time. Thank you so much for joining me today. I do pray that your day is greatly blessed by God, so that you can be a blessing to others. Have a great day.